Isn't it great to be here today? And God gave us some rain earlier this morning. Supposed to be some more coming. That's a good thing, right? All right, we need rain. Cooled off some. So things are getting a little bit more tolerable weather-wise. We have been focusing on strongholds. Overcoming some of the strongholds. Breaking those strongholds down. Those things that Satan often puts before us trying to hold us in bondage to him or at least trying to get us to give up and let go of God. And Satan uses all kinds of different things to do that with. And this morning, we're going to look at the stronghold of addiction. Because that's one that is a pretty powerful stronghold that Satan uses on a lot of people. And probably on more of us than we realize. So let's talk about breaking down this stronghold of addiction. You know, one of the things that we begin with is we have to understand that an addiction, when we talk about an addiction, it can mean a lot of things or refer to a lot of different things. It can really refer to either substances or what we oftentimes talk about, substance abuse, or it can be refer to behaviors that are addictive to us and become harmful to us. So when we talk about addictions, think about both those things because, you know, first thing that a lot of people think, oh, well, I don't need to listen to this sermon. I don't have a drug problem or an alcohol problem. Well, but there may be some other addiction that Satan is using on you that you don't even realize right now. You see, there are things like, as I mentioned, drugs and alcohol, but then there are some behavioral types of things, you see. And it could be things like a food addiction. It could be something like pornography. And by the way, statistics would show us that in the Lord's church, the problem of pornography addiction is about at the same rate as it is out in the world. So do we have a problem? See? So this is a serious thing that we've got to become aware of, is how Satan uses addictions to hold us into bondage to him. But here's one of the questions. Why are addictions, why is this stronghold so difficult for us to be able to tear down? Why is it so strong, you see? And one of the reasons for that we have to understand, something that we've talked about before, it's been a while ago, but one of the things that we have to understand about it is this law of human behavior that is at work within us. Some of you remember what that law is that I've talked about before that has to do with stress. Anybody remember what the law is? It basically, the law says this: whenever a person is under stress, they always go back to what they know. And because of that law, you see, we get into habits, we get into certain behaviors that we always go back to. When we find ourselves under stress, that's where we go to. And that is, I believe, one of the roots that Satan uses to bring us into an addiction and to hold us into that, you see, because this law is so strong and powerful. When we're under stress, we go back to what we know. If what we know is a destructive behavior, whether it's taking drugs or drinking alcohol, whether it's some other kind of behavior that's destructive, you see, that's where we're going to go when we find ourselves under stress. So what we've got to understand is we've got to, first of all, identify what that behavior is that Satan is using against us, what the addiction is, and then we have to work on changing what we know. And we'll talk more about that again another time, that formula for changing what we know. We've talked about that many different times in the past, but basically that's what we have to do, is work on changing what we know. But what we need to understand at this point is that changing what we know is a process. It's not an event. And that's important for us to keep in mind. And that's going to come into play here as we look at breaking down this stronghold of addictions in our lives. Okay, so let's take a look at it. If you have your outline, you realize the first point on our outline is just a statement that says how quickly we forget. Okay? How quickly we forget. And if you think about it, isn't that really a true statement that we tend as human beings to quickly forget what has been oftentimes done for us, and especially by God? Here's the thing that we need to think about in terms of this. A lot of people will ask the question when it comes to, especially towards an addiction or what have you, well, why doesn't God just take this away from me? You know, I prayed about it. Why doesn't God just take this addiction away from me and let me be healed from it? He knows it's a problem for me. Why doesn't He just fix it for me? And then I don't have to worry about it anymore, right? And I won't keep doing that same thing over and over again. Beth Moore has a very interesting statement in her book on prayer that I think is a great answer to that particular question. She says, if He, that is God, delivered us instantly, we would see His greatness once, but we would soon forget and risk going back. Now, I believe that's a very true statement. And in fact, if you go back and you look at the Israelites, and we find that's exactly what happened to them, isn't it? The Israelites had not even gotten out of Egypt. They hadn't crossed the Red Sea yet when they had forgotten what God had done for them through the Passover and delivering them out of the bondage in Egypt. I want you to look in your Bible in Exodus chapter 14. Turn with me there for just a moment. I want you to read with me what the Scriptures say concerning this event. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to be in verse 10. Now, the Israelites have already left. They're on their way. They come to the Red Sea. And about this time is when Pharaoh realizes the big mistake he made in letting them go. You see? Somebody probably went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, who's going to start doing all this work that the Israelites were doing? And he realized, ooh, boy, what a big goof I made. We need to get them back. And so Pharaoh takes his army and he starts going after the Israelites. And look at what the text says to us here, beginning in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, look at this, verse 11, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. How quickly they forgot. We look at the event of the Passover and even all of the events, all of the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptian people before that, before the last one, the death of the firstborn. And that's what freed them from that bondage that they were in Egypt, that terrible bondage that they wanted to be free from. And here they find themselves there at the shores of the Red Sea, and they already have forgotten the great things that God had done to deliver them out of that bondage. All along the way after they crossed the Red Sea, even when God delivered them at that moment and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, they continued to forget what God had done for them, continuing to grumble against God and against Moses every time they faced some kind of adversity. They kept forgetting about God's power. You see, here's one of the keys that we've got to remember. God wants us to remember Him and learn to rely on Him in our daily lives. See? Beth Moore also says this. She says, if God teaches us victory in Christ Jesus day by day, we live in the constant awareness of His greatness and His sufficiency. So you see, we need to understand, again, why doesn't God just zap it and take the problem away? Because God wants us to learn to rely on Him every day in our lives. He wants a relationship with us. You see? It's not a question of, could God do this? Could God just speak and the problem would be gone? The addiction would be over? Certainly He could. Thank you, brother. Only one person's convinced of that. No question that He could. And it's not an issue of that He doesn't love you enough, because evidenced by the fact that He's not taking it away. That's not the point. The point is He does love you so much that He wants you to learn to rely on Him every day in your life. You see, it's a matter of getting to know the Deliverer. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us just to be delivered from the problems. He wants us to get to know Him as our Deliverer. And there's a big difference between those two. Excuse me, we need to think about the idea of showing, or the difference between showing and teaching. You see, it's one thing to show somebody something, isn't it? But it's quite another whole thing to teach someone something. And God doesn't want to just show us that He has power. He wants to teach us to learn to rely on His power. In the text that was read for us as we began this morning, turning your Bible over to 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. I'll give you just a second to do that while I get some water here. You know, Paul here is talking about some kind of thorn in the flesh that he had. Now, you know, scholars have been debating what that thorn in the flesh was probably since, you know, the letter first came out. It doesn't tell us what that thorn in the flesh was. I'm convinced that it was some kind of a physical problem that he had. Okay? I think it could possibly be argued when you go and you look at what Paul writes over in Romans 7 about the fact that he is a sinner and that he struggles with knowing the things that he should be doing, but he doesn't do those. Instead, he does the things that he shouldn't be doing. I'm convinced it's at least possible that Paul might have struggled with some kind of an addiction. I don't know. We don't know what it is. But here's the main point in this. God wants us to know Him as our Deliverer. And what is the response that He gives to Paul when Paul is praying to Him about removing this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was? Paul says he prayed for it three times for God to remove it from him. And each time, God's response was, "My grace is sufficient for you." Or, "My power is made perfect in weakness." You see, what God wants us to learn is that without Him, we're weak. We can't do anything of our own. We need His daily grace in our lives. And His grace is sufficient for us to help us to deal with whatever the problem, and in this case, the addiction, might be. When we get to know the Deliverer, we learn to rely on Him for whatever it is that we might be struggling with in life. And that's why the changes that I mentioned to you a few moments ago, that's why those changes take a lifetime journey to overcome. See? It's not an instantaneous thing. It's a lifetime of growing and changing, learning to rely on the Deliverer who deliver us daily from those battles. That's why we oftentimes we hear the phrase about an alcoholic, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, you see. We may not be drinking anymore, but we're always going to be an alcoholic. Why? And those that have dealt with that problem will tell you, because it's a daily struggle. Every single day, they realize they've got to fight that urge. You see, because if they take a drink, they're going to go right back to where they were before. And it's a lifelong journey for the rest of their lives. Now you say, well, why didn't God just take that away? Why? Because there's a perfect example of how when that person learns to rely on the Deliverer every day of their life, you say, then they become victorious every day of the rest of their life over that addiction. The one that holds on to God throughout the journey is the one who will succeed in overcoming the addiction. Not just work and go, okay, let me just get over it and then everything will be fine. But it's learning to rely upon God every single day for the rest of our lives. You see, we can't be like Israel, who came to the banks of the River Jordan as they journeyed to the promised land. They were there, ready to cross over. But they didn't cross over because they didn't have enough faith. They didn't know the Deliverer who had brought them from the bondage in Egypt to the banks of the Promised Land. They knew of the events, but they didn't know the Deliverer. And so when the time came, they didn't have the faith that it took, that it required. The faith in that Deliverer to cross that river and to take that land that God had promised He would give them. You see the difference between knowing of the events and knowing the Deliverer. And that's why they perished in the wilderness. For 40 years they wandered until all of that generation died because they did not know the Deliverer. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Anyone who has struggled with any kind of an addiction knows how weary that is. And Jesus is saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. But also what he's saying here, and don't miss this part, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn. Learn from me. That speaks of relationship. That speaks of getting to know the Deliverer, you see. And that's what He wants us to do. And then His promise is there. You will find rest for your souls. So you see, it's not just about ending the thing. God could do that by His very word, just like that. Whatever the addiction, whatever the problem is that you might be facing. But God wants you to know Him as the Deliverer, and I think that's why He takes a lifetime to deliver us from those kinds of things, so that we will get to know Him. Now, the final thing that we need to understand about tearing down this kind of a stronghold, you see, is to me, it's one of the greatest things to know, to realize. And that is that our enemy is also God's enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me greatly. Just from the standpoint of realizing that not only am I not fighting in the battles alone, but the same enemy that I have is God's enemy. So Satan, who is our enemy, and he is God's enemy, he's not just fighting with us. He's contending with God, and God is contending with him. So basically what that means is that us and we-ins, however we want to say it, you see, yous guys and us guys and all of us, God's on our side. Okay? Thank you. Got one amen on that. God is on our side. He's not fighting against you. And that's, I think, one of the most difficult things for folks to understand. Because how often have you thought, at least thought to yourself, or maybe even said, why is God punishing me? Why is God making my life so difficult? Why is God doing this to me? You need to understand, God's not doing it to you. God is on your side. You see? And we have a common enemy, and that enemy is Satan. You see, we need to go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Understand what Paul is writing here and how powerful this is. This is, excuse me, this is about spiritual warfare that we keep talking about all the time. Look at what Paul has to say here. Look at verse 12, first of all, okay? He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's Satan. And all of his minions, all of his demons. That's where our struggle is. And our enemy is also God's enemy. So God is fighting with us and for us on our behalf. And that alone ought to bring a great encouragement to us. You're not trying to overcome any kind of an addiction, any kind of a problem, any kind of a struggle that you have. You don't have to try to overcome it by yourself. You've got God on your side to help you. Now, if you go back and you start looking at some of the other things that Paul says here about this spiritual warfare that we're in, go back up to verse 10. What does he tell us there? He says, be strong in the Lord and in what? In what? Now, what? Whose power? I can't hear you. His mighty power. It's not your power. It's not my power. It is His mighty power. Underline His there in your Bible. You need to understand that. Not just in your mind. You need to understand it in your heart. It is not your power. You don't have enough power to fight against Satan on your own. So it's in His mighty power that He calls upon us to stand. Verse 11, He says, put on the whole or the full armor of God. Underline that word in there. Not just part of it. Not just the parts that are easy to carry along. Not just the parts that are light, okay? He says, put on the full armor or the whole armor of God. Now what that tells us is that God's saying, okay, look, I'm going to provide what you need to be victorious in your daily fight. Here's the armor. And then He goes down through the next several verses and He talks about that armor. He describes the different pieces of armor that He provides for us to be successful or victorious in our fight. Notice what He says, the very last thing. Verse 18. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. They pray. When you've done all the other things, when you put on all the armor, you say, then before you go out into battle, pray. Call upon God and His promises and His power to help you to be victorious that day in your battles that you're going to do with Satan. Okay? And whatever kind of addiction that you might be struggling with, whatever kind of stronghold, see, this applies to all of them that we've been talking about, whatever the struggle is that Satan is trying to use to twist you and tangle you up, you've got God's power to help you that day so that you can, on that day of your journey, be victorious. I don't know about you, but I know for myself, when I go out each day, on those days that I keep this in mind and I pray and I focus on the fact that right now I'm getting ready to go out into battle with Satan. You've heard me talk about this before. It's an everyday thing. On those days, I find those are the days that I do pretty well. But those days when, you know, my morning might start off really chaotic, or I'm, you know, running late, or whatever the case may be, and I don't do that, kind of interesting, but I find that those are the days that I don't do as well. See? I don't think that's coincidence. You see, God wants us to know Him as our deliverer. He wants us to know Him every day as our deliverer. Not just on a big event that takes place, but to learn to rely on Him every day, because every day we go to battle against Satan. The problem is, for a lot of us, is that what we're not realizing is that we're going out into battle. And a lot of times we're not even thinking, we're not even prepared, but Satan always is prepared to do battle with us. Every day, Satan is prepared to do battle with us. And too many days, I think we go out not even realizing that we're going into battle today. And we need to understand and realize that God wants us to understand, to know that we're going into battle today. And He wants us to call upon Him and rely upon His power, His mighty power, so that we can be victorious today in whatever we're going to battle Satan about. Whatever the stronghold is, whatever addiction you might be struggling with, if you're struggling with one, understand this is the way to be able to tear down that stronghold, to be able to free yourself from it. But it's a daily thing. Learn to rely on the deliverer every day of your life. That's relationship with Him, and that's what He wants. Because I think one of the worst things is to struggle every day in our life with a stronghold, any stronghold, but especially some kind of an addiction, and then die. And be at the point where we could cross over into that promised land, eternity with God, only to realize that we're turned back out into the wilderness because we didn't know the deliverer. We just looked at a lot of great things that He did. Do you know Jesus as the deliverer? Not only delivering us from our sins, that's an event. Okay? That's an event that can take place for you right now, today, if you're ready to make a commitment to follow Him. If you're not already a Christian, He can take those sins away right now. And then you begin that daily journey of learning to build a relationship with Him. If that's what you need to do, you can do that today. Right now. If there's something that you're struggling with, you're already a Christian, you're struggling with something, maybe it's an addiction of some type, or maybe it's just some other stronghold that Satan is battling with you with, Let's work on getting rid of that. You need to learn to rely on the deliverer. Okay? We want to help you to do that. We're going to stand and sing a song, Steve, if you'll come up, and we're going to use this as an invitation song. And if you need to respond, if there's something that we can do, even just lifting you up before the Lord in prayer, then let us know that. I'll be up here to receive you. Dale, you're going to be in the back there. Dale will be in the back. If you'd like to go back and talk to him and have a private prayer with him, he'll be back there to receive you. But we can't help you with whatever's going on if you don't let us know what it is. So we use this time as an opportunity to do that. Let's stand together and sing.